Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Betty Buckley is an award-winning actress of stage and screen. She won a Tony Award for her performance as Grisabella in the original Broadway production of Cats. From 1997 to 1981, she starred on the ABC series Eight is Enough. She joins us today to discuss her work in M. Night Shyamalan's recent thriller, Split, which is available this week from Universal Pictures Home Entertainment on Blu-ray and DVD, and her new album, Story Songs, which was released last Friday by Palmetto Records. In Split, three girls are kidnapped by a man, played by James McAvoy, who is diagnosed with 23 distinct personalities. They must try to escape before the apparent emergence of a frightful new persona. Betty Buckley plays Dr. Karen Fletcher, the man's psychologist.
I've never seen a case like this before. 23 identities live in Kevin's body. Who are you?
It's a pleasure to welcome Betty Buckley back to the Roundtable.
Thank you, Sarah. It's nice to talk to you.
You played Dr. Karen Fletcher in M. Night Shyamalan's movie Split, and it is kind of your character's job to help the audience of the movie understand dissociative identity disorder. How did you prepare for the role and for that responsibility?
I worked for several weeks before we started shooting with a psychologist in New York, and I've also had a fascination with the subject matter since I was like a preteen, and I first saw the Joanne Woodward film, All About Eve, and that she won the Academy Award for, and then, you know, some years later, I was fascinated by the book Sybil.
Right. I read that as a kid, too, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating subject matter. And then, you know, I love the film that Sally Fields did as well. So I've always been intrigued by humankind's capacity to adjust to pain and suffering and abuse with such a creative response, like organizing a new personality to handle that aspect of the person's experience. And so that's really intriguing to me. And so when Knight sent me the script and said he wrote the part for me, I was absolutely thrilled because I felt like I already was predisposed to being fascinated by the subject. But then I also read two books that Knight recommended in another book that I found, Chronicles of People with DID. But the psychologist really helped me get ready, and then she was very generous and availed herself on the telephone the night before I would shoot the big scenes with McAvoy to be sure that I understood all the notes correctly, and it was pretty good, you know, good research.
What prior interactions had influenced Knight, Mr. Shyamalan, to write the part for you?
Well, I worked with him on his film The Happening.
Of course.
And so we're, you know, we became friends then, and he knows how much I love him and support his work, and we have a friendship, and I, you know, I'm just very grateful to work with him. He's so much fun and joyous, and he's like a kid on the set, filled with passion and joy, and he has this group of people that he's worked with for many years. They've done the majority of his movies with him, and so being on his set is like a real family experience. It's really fun. And it was a real honor to get to work with James McAvoy. I'm a huge fan of his. He also is just a very, very nice man, very down-to-earth and funny and also mischievous, like Knight I'm mischievous, so we're constantly teasing each other on the set. And it was great, a great, great work experience.
The film is, of course, intense and tense and frightening, but you, even while working on that kind of subject matter, you have fun on set.
Yeah, that's, you know, made it really good that, you know, to take the breaks between takes and to have such a jocular atmosphere, you know, it was a good thing.
You mentioned James McAvoy. I did want to ask you a little bit more about him, as I'm also a fan of his work. As he presents the different personalities that he's acting, did you have to interact with him differently in your character, depending on who he was at that time?
Well, yeah. You know, it's one of my favorite scenes is where he's the character Dennis, who my character, the doctor, hasn't met yet, but she knows about him, and she's trying to get him to reveal himself and when he came into being, and he's pretending that he's the character Barry. That was a pretty complicated scene.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And then, but it's written and directed to help everyone keep track of what's going on.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty genius story, and the way he tells it is so wonderful and economical, and you get so much with just an image on the screen. It's very powerful.
Your new album, Story Songs, came out today as we were talking. How did you select the songs that you would put on this record?
Well, I worked on it. I was in Los Angeles last summer with doing Grey Gardens at the Amundsen Theater. I was working with my pianist, arranger, musical director for the past 7 or 8 years. We were working in the daytime while I was doing Grey Gardens at night. The Amundsen graciously gave us a rehearsal studio to work in, and we just went through lots and lots of material, and you know, including some songs suggested by friends. Like Martha Plimpton, my friend, asked me to sing High and Dry by Radiohead at a concert for her organization called A is For, which is about women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
You kill yourself for recognition. You kill yourself to never, ever stop. You broke another mirror. You're turning into someone you are not.
My friend Michael Gardner, who's the wardrobe supervisor at the Amundsen, suggested 12 different songs. We picked two of those that he suggested. My friend Joe Iconis, he's a composer lyricist that wrote some of the music for Smash.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
I was a fan of his, so I wrote to him on Facebook and told him I'd love to be able to work with him. And he invited me to be a part of one of his, Joe Iconis, family concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And wrote that song Old Flame for me, which was really fun. And so that was something we had to have on the album.
Oh, I try to think of good things and the positives I've got. Then I think of him a little. Then I think of him a lot. And it's not him just by himself. I think of what he put me through and how I had to overcome that, which he never had to do. Why does your memory persist? I think I hate that you exist. I think I hate that you exist. Oh, flame, why should I have any doubt that I need to snuff you out?
Search and find the songs that resonate for me and that Christian responds to as well, and then together we built them from there, and then took them to New York for our rehearsal with our band and debuted them at Joe's Pub, and people responded very well to the grouping of songs and the new arrangements and stuff. So Palmetto Records said they would release a live album for us, and that was great. So we went to Costa Mesa and recorded those songs, and then I picked 5 songs from my previous Joe's Pub engagement in 2015 and added those as a bonus tracks.
You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made.
whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught.
You included You've Got to Be Carefully Taught, Rodgers and Hammerstein's song from South Pacific. Did you feel it was important to put that song out into the world again right now?
Yes, I've been thinking about it for quite a while. My friend T-Bone Burnett, who produced my last album, Ghostlight, had actually suggested it for Ghostlight. And I couldn't figure out how to make it work then because it's really very short. It's a very short song mm-hmm. in the context of South Pacific. And is sung as a duet between the two guys, Lieutenant Cable and Emile Debec. And because of its length, I always felt that it should be tied to another song. And so then my friend Jason Robert Brown, the brilliant theater composer, lyricist, sent me three songs, all of which were included on the album. And Cassandra was a new piece that he is writing for a new project. And so it just seemed to pair very well with You've Got to Be Taught in terms of the political commentary in both. One led to the other. One is about prejudice, and then the second song, Cassandra, is about, you know, the repression of women's intuition and feelings and women's rights. So they seem to go well together.
And every day she decides is the day that she'll finally tell her story. Then she sees all the men getting their stories told instead. Thus, all the women of the world are shamed to silence. All their warnings to the world are heard too late. And so the people of the world are left to wonder what offenses unrepented, what disasters unprevented lie.
Betty Buckley's new album, Story Songs, is out now on Palmetto Records, and she co-stars in M. Night Shyamalan's Split, which is available this week from Universal Pictures Home Entertainment on Blu-ray and DVD. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.